When Lincoln came to Springfield in 1837, his life was exactly half over. He did not arrive unknown. The new Salem wrestler and speaker had become known not only as a legislator, but as Springfield's talented young benefactor, for largely because of his efforts as a party leader, the capital of Illinois was being switched to Springfield. Even though launched on his new career and lodged with the friendly 22-year-old Joshua Speed, Lincoln found himself lonely and out of place. "This thing of living in Springfield," he wrote, "is rather a dull business after all. I am as lonesome here as I ever was anywhere in my life. I've never been to church yet, nor probably shall not be soon. I stay away because I am conscious I should not know how to behave myself." Springfield was a town of less than 1,500 people in 1837. There were no streetlights, no sidewalks, no sewers, no paved streets. After a rain, carriages became mired in the deep black mud, while pigs wallowed freely about town. The stagecoach was the principal means of travel. Railroads had not yet come. Lincoln was a difficult man to get to know. No matter how kind and good-natured, he usually stayed distant and kept his true feelings to himself. Speed was the ideal man to break through this reserve. He had many of the same concerns Lincoln had, especially about his inadequacy for lasting love and marriage. They could talk intimately, share confidences, and trust each other, and it was not long before Lincoln had made the best friend he would ever have. It was at Speed's store that Lincoln began to make his mark on Illinois' new capital city, which was attracting many of the finest young lawyers and politicians in the West. Mr. Lincoln was a social man, though he did not seek company, it sought him, Speed related. After he made his home with me, on every winter's night at my store, 8 or 10 choice spirits assembled. They came there because they were sure to find Lincoln. In December 1839, at the Grand Cotillion in honor of the completion of the new Capitol building, Lincoln was introduced to Mary Todd and liked what he saw. Mary Todd and Lincoln were attracted to each other from the start. What an unlikely couple, this pair of opposites. One short, plump, and round-faced, the other tall and thin with hollow cheeks. One cultured and refined, the other sounding as if he were right off the farm. One witty and entrancing, the other worshipful and withdrawn. The pretty chatterbox usually led the conversation, with the reticent Lincoln all ears. The way disapproving Sister Elizabeth Edwards described them, Mr. Lincoln would sit at her side and listen. He scarcely said a word, but gazed on her as if irresistibly drawn toward her by some superior and unseen power. Elizabeth thought the man was too uneducated and low-born for her sister, a cold man, not sufficiently intelligent in the female line. To her dismay, Mary and Lincoln became fixtures in the Edwards parlor. Molly, as Lincoln called her, had her own mind and wasn't about to be told whom to fall in love with. She alone could see past the shabby exterior. Mary was using all her wiles to get Lincoln to fall in love with her, and Lincoln wasn't resisting. As 1840 drew to a close, and with Mary still seeing other men, including his political rival, Stephen Douglas, Lincoln made the biggest decision he had ever made, to marry his Molly. Whether Lincoln formally proposed or not, he gave his promise, and she accepted. Then, on New Year's Day, 1841, the fatal first, he would call it, Lincoln broke his engagement. As with many brooding interior men, Lincoln had found himself intrigued by marriage and yet terrified of it at the same time. He feared the loss of his freedom, had not yet proved himself financially, and was certain that his capacity for loving was inadequate. Suddenly confusion set in, and with it depression, magnified now by the realization that he had been unable to hold steady and keep his prized resolve. To his law partner John Stewart, serving a term as congressman in Washington, Lincoln forced out his own description. "I am now the most miserable man living. If what I feel were equally distributed to the whole human family, there would not be one cheerful face on the earth." At times, Lincoln could not even get out of bed. He did not eat. He lost weight. Hypochondria was the going term for unstable and emotionally disturbed behavior. The hypo, as Lincoln called it, had him in its grip. And there he remained for months, changing law partners in April, boarding now, since Speed's departure to Kentucky, with his friends the Butlers.